now it's time for the TOT Cast with Crystal Cranus, Natea J, and Ryan Greco.
And welcome back to this edition of the TOT Cast. I am Ryan Greco here on the Fan Side of Network. And as always, I am joined by Chris O'Cranus and Natea J. Be sure to reach the show at Tip of the Tower on Twitter. And also, you can reach me at Ryan Greco 416. You can reach Chris O'Cranus at Chris O'Cranus. And of course, you can always reach Natea at Tay11 underscore. That is T-E-Y 11 underscore. On Twitter, and always be sure to like our Facebook page.
Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ryan. Never been better. Natea, how you doing?
You've never been better.
You know, really? I had to throw some cliche
you
in there.
Never been better?
Nah.
What about the time when... I can't say that on air.
There's a few of those.
We love it. Well, I know someone who has not been doing better. That is Jonathan Bernier.
He's actually been doing pretty darn well when you look at how he's been playing with the Marlies so far.
It's the Marlies.
Hey, back-to-back shutouts.
Really? against what was it you called in the tape? What'd you call it in the tape?
I just want to know who he's playing against.
Oh, he's playing. Okay, all right. Let's clear the air here. This is an NHL goalie playing against AHL players, and it's showing. And it's also an NHL goalie playing on a very good AHL team. Before you guys go and incinerate Bernier. Mm-hmm. His confidence is budding up right now.
This is only giving me more reason to incinerate him.
Why though? Why? I don't understand why. This is the best thing that could happen to him right now, in my opinion.
So similar to like a rehabbing pitcher going down to the minors to get his groove back.
A little bit, except he's not coming back from injury. He's coming back from the worst injury you could have in sports, which is a mental one.
So he's Ricky Romero.
I would kind of compare him to somebody like a player coming back from the yips. I don't know if you guys know what the yips is. So coming back from the yips,
like Ricky Romero.
You think Ricky Romero had the yips, man? I think he just had a bad case of throwing up dick shots, but that's a whole other topic. Honestly, he just lost it mentally, and all his confidence was gone, and it never came back.
It was a confidence thing.
It was after a while.
Look, I was a goalie at one point in my life in another lifetime. Listen. Listeners, there wasn't a sport I didn't play. Let's just leave it at that. I just wasn't very good at any of them. In all seriousness, there's nothing worse than the injuries that you can have in your head. I can kind of relate to what he's going through right now, but to be perfectly honest, the guy at his level, the guy of his caliber, I am happy for him and his feelings that he was able to get two shutouts against Scrubs. Congratulations, Bernier. I hope your feelings are feeling a bit better.
I'm pro player. You know how I roll, man. I'm pro player, right? So he goes down there, right? He's going to get his confidence back. And all he needs is to see a few pucks bounce off his pads, and maybe he's going to get his confidence back. You know what I mean? All sometimes a player needs is to see a few shots go in, and all of a sudden they're back to who they were.
Well, pads aside, bouncing off of it and actually making some saves. Think about it like this. He's actually having fun playing hockey again.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's a big thing for him.
Man, that's huge.
I'll ease up on him for that.
Well, it seems like the lesser competition or easing up on him is actually helping him quite a bit. Marley's head coach, Sheldon Keefe, said about his mindset that he goes about his business. First time that I saw him in the room and stretching, hanging out with the guys, he's having fun. I don't know if you guys saw his first shutout that he got with Rochester. The Marlies mobbed him after the game, and he looked like one of the happiest players I've seen in a while. Playing hockey, so I think his psyche is slowly coming around, guys. What do you think?
There's something to be said about having fun, man. You know, once you start having fun with the game, I tell you what, it does wonders for you, man. And all those low things that you may take for granted, they start to go away. You start to stay a little bit extra. You start to, you know, hang out with the guys a little bit more. Every day is not such a drag. So, you know, for him having fun, that's huge. That's a big factor for me. And you know, from here on out, I look for him as the first game to start getting back to normal.
I'll point this out, and I think this is something that a lot of fans don't take into consideration when they're watching Jonathan Bernier and how he's got a smile on his face. He's walking into an organization that has won a lot recently. That group of guys in that locker room, in the Marlies locker room, have won a lot in the AHL in the last couple of years. Those are confident kids. They're in a positive environment in a sense where they all know they're just a step away. They're one, as Chris was saying earlier, this is one of the better teams in the AHL. And I think that positive energy is definitely fed off of him. I think it's kudos to him, though, to walk into it with a completely open attitude towards it. I'm glad that he's having such a great time down there, because I would too if I was getting the kind of money he was getting to ride the bus.
Well, to kind of keep with the young kids, I don't know if you guys saw, but a number of Leafs players, probably 5 to 7 of them, are going to play in the World Juniors this year. Headlining it will be Mitch Marner and, of course, William Nylander.
The most overhyped tournament in all of hockey history.
But with the Leafs playing in it, the Leafs prospects, would you guys pay attention more tentatively or be more inclined to watch it?
Absolutely. You want to see how the Leafs top prospects, you know, fare against other good competition. I mean, this is a step up from the AHL, right? So, you know, it's a chance to evaluate guys on our higher stage and see what they're made of.
I'm not even going to lie. The World Hockey Junior Championship is actually sort of a tradition in my house. It's always playing. We always have you guys have been to it. You know how big of a celebration my family has on a Boxing Day. Everyone in their pajamas, having eggnog and singing and laughing and doing other things. Anyway, so the World Junior Championships is always on in my house, and it's always covered during the holiday special. The holidays. So will I watch it more tentatively? I actually will, because it's not very often that we actually have really good Leafs prospects playing in it. So I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, I'll be watching it more.
Yeah, I think I'll be keeping a little bit of a closer eye as well, because it's going to be fun to watch these guys compete at the highest level they possibly can as juniors, let's say. I mean, it's still international play. And I'm going to look forward to seeing Mitch Marner. I mean, he's been tearing up in the OHL, back-to-back hat tricks over last weekend. He's a flat-out stud, and I'm kind of looking forward.
When's he coming up? Like, what's the timetable here? Like,
They don't really have a timetable with him. If I had to guess, I'd say maybe next year he'll get a legitimate shot. But he's still got to put some weight on. He's got to grow a bit. He's got to get his adult body, which is not too far off. But skill-wise, he's electrifying.
It's gonna be fun to watch.
Moving from guys like Mitch Marner and the Marlies, let's talk about the big club a bit here. The season is essentially a write-off. We're playing for next year.
They're crap.
Yeah. Do you think they have an actual legitimate shot at moving any of these guys? Like, let's say a Bozak or a Phaneuf or even a Lupul. Do you think they have a legitimate shot at moving one of these guys?
It all depends on what the market is for these guys. You know what I mean? I feel like if they can put together one last little good stretch of hockey, it will bode well for other teams looking at them. But, if you're a GM right now, would you?
I think Phaneuf, I've talked to some people in hockey that have said Phaneuf is somebody that they're interested in moving.
Yeah.
But a lot of these teams want the Leafs to retain a bit of salary. Mm. One of the teams that's still connected that checks in regularly with the Leafs for Phaneuf is the LA Kings.
Yeah.
Money-wise, can it work with both of them? So that's a big thing for them. But I think teams will certainly knock for a guy like Phaneuf come the deadline.
I think that, back in the truculence days.
Truculence.
Truculence and belligerent days, the Leafs did just that when it came to spending. They showed a lot of truculence and vigor and belligerence. Lots and lots of belligerence. And with that even being said, I think that the only guy that's worth moving, the only guy that is even worth taking a look at is something that's already been discussed here, and it's Phaneuf. I don't know how much of a leader he really is in a locker room. He's never been a guy that's been very well enjoyed by the Toronto public in general or by the media. And I think that's actually more just kind of like, I think he just gets a bad rap with all of us. So, you know, I'll give him a pass for that. But I think not only would a move for Phaneuf benefit the Toronto Maple Leafs club, it would benefit his own career. I think when the spotlight not as bright on him, I think he could be a real good piece added to a seriously contending team moving forward.
Mm-hmm. He's actually having a pretty good year this year, though. I mean, if you want to use his metrics, he's been a pretty positive player for the most part. So maybe that will further entice a team to take a look at him.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to look at what he's doing with Babcock and say, maybe he's not as uncoachable and unadaptable to a new system. Like, a lot of question marks will kind of be, I don't want to say erased, but teams will be at ease seeing him playing a new system and realize that he can actually still be the guy that we think he can.
And not only that, like, he's just the spotlight, honestly, it's crazy to say, but I actually think the spotlight on the Leafs this year just isn't as big given everything else that's been happening around Toronto sports.
It's not.
Nobody is going up in arms about what Phaneuf did night after night this year. People are going to give this team leeway, especially now that they made the move for Babcock. So I think it's just a good time for him to either quietly ride off into the sunset with another team or continue this progressive year that he's had.
You know, they also say that happiness always comes from expectation, right? So the fan base, right, they know what to expect. They've been explained to by management what's going to happen with this team. It's not going to happen overnight, right? So we expect the team to be bad, right? And, you know, they've had spurts where they've been okay, and, you know, we've been happy. But we know what to expect, so we're not terribly down. And, you know, people are kind of shifting their focus to other things.
Well, a big problem that the Leafs have with some of these guys and moving them is the size of their contracts and the fact that they have no trade clauses or limited no trade clauses. But a funny little thing I was thinking is, if some of these guys can't be moved, how do you make use of a bad contract in sports? It's something we don't really talk about. Like, you just pay the guy and wait for him to go away? Or do you take a different approach where let's – I know it's bizarre and it'll probably never happen. What if you took a guy like Joffrey Lupo?
Yeah.
He's injured quite frequently. He makes a healthy amount of money. And what if you made him kind of interact with the fans when he was injured? What I mean by that is elevate the fan experience. When you go to a game, the team may suck. But think about how many kids' dreams he'd fulfill if he was kind of walking around the ACC while he's injured,
shaking hands, yeah, kissing babies.
Though,
yeah.
You kind of take the attention away from the game, don't you think? There'd be like a huge clamor of people just around him, asking for pictures, asking for autographs. You know, it would be really crazy. Like, you'd underestimate like how crazy it'd get in the stands.
Well, that's why we got security. And the other thing that we have, too, is all those empty seats in the platinum section. You don't got nothing to worry about. Just send them to the 100 level. There's nobody sitting there anyways.
There you
go. So let him go talk around the 100-level concourse. It's just a way to make him earn his money. Or think about this. Think about a guy like A-Rod with the Yankees,
yeah.
That albatross contract.
Oh.
He can't play the field anymore. If right. He does, I mean, do it at your own risk. But we all saw during the playoffs, he loves being in the media. He loves being a play-by-play.
He does.
And he's pretty damn good at it. So what if he redefined the first play-by-play player?
Whoa.
So what I mean by that is
not a player coach, but a
no,
play
but a player
by
play
play
by
play.
He only DHs, right? So while he's not taking his at bats, what if the Yankees signed an exclusive deal with A-Rod with the Yes Network?
Yes.
And while he's not hitting, he's giving you play by play. And Alex, what right. are you seeing from the pitcher? And he gives right, some right. spiel to the crowd at home.
Listen, I can see them. That's really interesting. I can see them time it up where as soon as he's done his at bat, right, he can go straight to the press box. I mean, he's got to wait 9 more guys, right, and a couple innings in between. So why not go up there and give your thoughts on the game, how you feeling body-wise, you know, do a little play-by-play in between. I mean, yeah, I can see that not, working. That's
a lot
not
of the,
a bad
a lot,
idea.
A lot of what you would say is that they would have him down in the dugout with one of those headphones on because this is something that they already kind of
yes,
do
yeah.
with the managers, right?
Yeah.
Right? Now, I could just imagine seeing A-Rod there and, you know, Girardi makes a sign to do a shift and A-Rod's just sitting there like,
Oh, they want him to steal right now.
And it's like, yeah. No, he's on the back. So it's like, I don't know if I would do that if I were Joe. But,
yeah.
You know, Joe is what he is.
Yeah. Well, think about
just
like
gets
this.
Into it.
A lot of these players want to transition into media when their careers are done.
Yeah,
that's
it
true.
Could be something
you're
for
looking
them.
At one guy right here.
But imagine.
Well
being
played,
on the field
well played.
And kind of giving your perspective about what's actually happening while you're in the game.
That I would know, be super cool, though. I'm
yeah,
not going to lie.
It would
that
be something that's never been done.
Right.
And they're
I mean, you get interviews with guys, but you don't get that firsthand, like them just talking off the top of their head. You know
of
what
course.
I mean?
Well, think about, too, if you're a player, it's kind of a bargaining chip as well for your contract. Be like, hey, look at your ratings on TV
yeah,
when I'm
right.
here. It's something they could use a spin-off. It's just
you
something
that
I thought about.
That's
that.
Outrageous, but I could, you know,
I could see
that's
it
not, yeah, it's not too far-fetched.
It's better
exactly.
than them sending tweets in-game, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Going to the bathroom and sneaking out tweets. What about for guys that are kind of like deadweight contracts, like a Phil Kessel? What I mean by that is the Leafs, when they trade him, they have to eat $2 million of his salary
right.
for, I believe it's the next 4 seasons. So Phil Kessel kind of likes his cookies.
Oh, he's eating a cookie. He's eating a cookie. Hey. We better get him. You better get you on the bike there, buddy. If you're gonna keep eating these cookies, that's your fourth one today.
My first one, okay.
Phil. I saw you. You had 3 other ones in there before the media thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what if when the Penguins come once?
What
a
kind
year,
of cookies, Chris?
I believe they were chocolate chips because Phaneuf was the one chirping.
Were they just chocolate chips?
You know what? I have to go back and watch a clip, but I'd assume they were. But here's the thing with that: is let's say when the Penguins come to town once. Well, they come more than once a year, but. Let's say when the Penguins come to town, we kind of did. It's the biggest troll move ever. But let's say we had like kind of like a Phil Kessel appreciation night. No tribute videos, but everybody in the stands gets a cookie.
Oh, I would love that. No,
I mean, we're
cool.
paying his $2 million
right.
salary, so why not have
that'd
some fun with it?
That'd be a huge troll, man. You might
hey,
throw
you know what?
The game.
If it was any kind of a real, like real genuine guy, he would take that $2 million and buy everyone in the ACC cookies.
Hey,
hey I'm not going to knock Phil for getting
honestly,
paid.
You know what I could see happening? all the fans throwing the cookies onto the ice when he's
okay,
you know what I mean?
That cookie thing is definitely not happening.
Or hold on. No. He scores a hat trick and everyone starts throwing the cookies right at him. Pelting him with cookies.
I can see that happen.
Don't get me wrong. I like Kessel. I think he's a good player. I think he has one of the worst attitudes, and his work ethic is, I'll say, lackluster. But it's just something I thought of, that there's ways that you can kind of have fun with it. Let's up the fan experience at games. We pay all this money in sports to go watch these guys play.
Right.
Why not give back to the fans a bit and have some more fun?
That would be cool.
I think it'd just be different.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is there any other ways you guys think that they can improve the fan experience? Because the Leafs are the most expensive ticket in sports right now, according to ESPN's fan rankings and everything.
But the 10th year running?
Well, let's say like the Blue Jays, even the Argos, the Raptors. How else could they improve the fan experience? Because I'm sure this is a thing that front offices struggle with all the time.
They do.
How can we improve the fan experience? What do you guys think?
The thing they struggle with is you want fans to get close to the game, but you also want to keep the focus on the actual game itself, right? You don't want people, you know, fans in the locker room before the game when guys have to be focused, or, you know, or even like on the field of play after the game, because then you have a security issue. So it's always a major battle between safety, focus, and the actual keeping the focus on the sport. But I don't know. Being a fan, I was always a fan. It's so tough, man, because I always wanted to be like maybe get a tour of the locker room. I don't know if they have that, but maybe hours before the game, before, you know, the players are actually in there, maybe get a tour of the locker room and see what players do. I know Dallas has a thing where, you know, they have fans right outside the locker room, and, you know, you can, you know, give guys high fives as they go by. I think they do a great job.
That's pretty cool.
Maybe if every team has something like that where, you know, fans can feel part of the team, that'd be pretty cool. It's just tough, though. I know. It's a tough thing.
What do you think, Ryan? You think you got anything?
It's really tough to have guys, especially in the hockey experience. You know, hockey's a little bit different in a sense of like football or, you know, or even baseball in a sense where it's like, you know, you're surrounded by plexiglass. Yeah. It's kind of hard to reach out and touch, especially in a place like the ACC.
It's
where
a unique atmosphere. You know,
it is. one thing that I remember as a kid that they used to do when they had the alumni games is they'd always have an alumni come to every single game and come out and sign autographs. I had an opportunity to meet Johnny Bauer when I was a little kid, just going into that fan experience. And I missed the entire third period to go watch that, but it didn't matter to me because I had a chance to go meet Johnny frickin' Bauer. I think if they just did more alumni nights and more opportunities to meet and greet alumni, just celebrating a little bit of the history, even guys that aren't necessarily from the 1960s, you know, guys that maybe our generation actually remembers or actually watched play. You also, obviously, you can make that demand for cheaper merchandise or just more reasonable pricing or better bundle packages for beverages and combos and things like that. And above all else, the number one thing they could do for fan experience is this novelty idea. I know we haven't had it for a while in Leafs land, but it's winning. Win. Win. That's the novel. That's my number one novelty idea.
Well, one area that the fans are actually having a lot of power right now is in the All-Star vote. I don't know if you guys have seen, but the big six,
Scotty,
yeah, Mr. John Scott out in the desert there is leading the All Star game vote. All Star game
cool.
fan vote.
I think it's cool.
Well, I think he's kind of like the bald Igor Komodo Dragon.
Mr. Scott, damage report.
You should have put him to that Goldberg song
during the last episode.
Hey, man, don't worry. That may not be the only time we do that. That edition is coming up.
That was fun.
But yeah, Scott. Yeah. Go, like, honestly, John Scott, I think it's, you know what, to a point that you were talking about earlier, Chris, off the air was, you know, I really do think that it's starting to kind of make a mockery of the All-Star game. But you know what? It's the NHL, for anybody who's about to say the NHL All-Star game is a mockery, look at the fan voting for the NBA for the last couple of years. If you go back a decade, it was bad. It was bad at some points. We had guys who were playing 10 games in the entire season, getting all the votes in China in the name of Yao Ming, who's a great player, great person, but, you know, and then you've got guys who aren't even starting or in the league, and Allen Iverson also voted as the starting shooting guard.
That was always the funniest thing. Like, literally, like, hilarious. Like, you know, I remember a year Vince Carter had played, like, maybe like 12, 13 games, and he's a leading vote getter. And it's just always so funny. It was like, what does this game come to? Like, is this even a real thing or a popularity contest?
It's a pickup game. That's all that is. So you guys don't have a problem with John Scott leading the vote? I mean, I'm not gonna lie. No, I want
to
see.
They need to do something to spice it up. I mean, you know, it's an all-star game. Let's
you know what.
You know what I mean? 3-on-3 this year. Yeah. I want to see him out there with Getzlaff and Kane, and them throwing frisbees his way. And yeah. I want to see him just either pop one in the net, or you know what, flat out whiff.
Yeah. I have a better idea. Here's what we'll do: for the first 5 minutes of the all-star game, or we'll make a skills competition out of it. What we'll do is we'll get him, and we'll instead of hockey gloves, he'll have on UFC gloves. We'll have a cage, an octagon, right around the center ring, and the center ring at center ice. And inside, we'll have either Jordan Tutu or we'll have Ty Domi come out of retirement. And we'll have them throw down for 5 minutes to start off the All-Star Game or to kick off the skills competition. I think that would be wonderful.
I think it'd be kind of an odd sight, but it's definitely something different. Do you guys think a similar thing can happen in Toronto with the NBA All-Star Game being here this year? Do you think fans can kind of pull a John Scott-esque movement and vote in a guy like Bruno Caboclo?
I don't think there's enough Canadians to vote those guys in.
Yeah, I don't know, but Bruno...
How much of a fight was it just to get Lowry?
He's popular, but he's not like that popular. You know what I mean? Like, he's not,
you have to
like,
have league.
Right. Like,
it'd people, be like, honestly...
Raptors fans know him, but yeah. the general population doesn't know him, and that's the thing with that was happening with Yao Ming in China. Like, people that didn't even watch basketball were just voting for Yao Ming because he was Chinese, right? And he played in the NBA. So
hey, if there was anyone that they could have voted in as a joke, it would have been the White Mamba.
Yes. That's the perfect candidate.
That was the
and
dude.
It would have worked.
Or if, Jeremy Lin.
If he was Canadian.
Back in the day.
You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe played for the Raptors because all the Canadians would have voted him in.
Matt Bonner, anyone?
Yeah, I think that could have worked. Rocket was still playing. Yeah,
I know. He just missed it by like 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years.
Two or three. Yeah, he retired, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Oh, I thought you meant when he played on the Raptors.
No. But he actually is a dual citizenship, right?
Yeah. He did just miss it by 2 years. No, yeah. You're right.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. See somebody get a vote in. So I guess
that's a no vote. I'm not for that Bruno noise.
No, unfortunately.
He's not popular enough. And he needs to spend some more time in the... Raptors 905, man. He's looks like a deer in headlights, man. He's two years away from being two years away.
Oh, gosh.
Still.
He went there.
I like him, though, but, like...
Yeah, he's just raw. He's so raw.
I feel like he just didn't play basketball or enough basketball. You know what I mean? Because he's, like, lacking, like, some fundamental things about just spacing and movement and when to crash the boards. And, you know, it's just... He needs to play more. Mm-hmm.
From fan experience of voting and everything, which apparently is not enough to get Bruno in the game, Christmas is coming up. What do you guys think about Christmas gifts? You got any Christmas ideas for Toronto sports fans out there? Any new swag that we should keep an eye on? Or what's the deal here?
Well, me personally, I don't think I can afford to get Toronto sports fan gifts. You know, what I can give them is my unwavering love and appreciation for each and every one of the Toronto Argonaut fans. I love all of them, and I wish them nothing but the best this holiday season, and stay safe, and don't drink and drive.
Now, Ryan, do you have a gift idea?
Public service announcement.
Hey, yeah, PSA.
At Megate.
Yeah, right?
All
right.
Boy.
Yeah, I actually do have something that I think would be, unfortunately, I don't know if it goes on until, I don't know if it launches in January. I'm hoping it launches during the holiday season, but I'm going to say it anyway. These brand new All-Star uniforms that they've unveiled, 2016 All-Star. If you can't get them right now, pre-order them.
You like
some of the most beautiful All-Star uniforms I have seen in the last 10, 15 years, hands down. I haven't seen All-Star uniforms looking this good since 2004.
What do you think changed?
Well, first off, they're not using any unnecessary colors in black or all white. They're also not trying to use the team's entire bloody name. The player's entire bloody name, which I thought was a complete travesty and idiocy last year. And not only that, the last 5 years before that, every jersey looked the exact same. You can actually go back. I wrote an article about it earlier this week on TOT. It's there. You can see all the links that's posted. They looked exactly the same. And then last year's, I'm not even going to go into it. But
that Brooklyn New
York
thing.
Oh, the Toronto Raptors, Adidas, NBA did a fantastic job designing these jerseys. And I think it was, it's a must have.
I feel like it's a case of like less is more. They didn't try to do too much. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And sometimes that ends up being the very best thing. Like this year in the CFL, we had our player inspired series with like hats and stuff, and Chad Owens made like some of the best hats like Toronto Argonauts ever seen, right? And so the simple fact that he did less. Like, less was more for him, right? And he made it simple, and everyone loved it. I mean, we saw, like, a couple, like, years past where, like, it was like, okay, what are you doing, man? So, you know, I totally see where you're coming from with that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, I hate to be the buzzkill here, but the All-Star gear doesn't come out till January. But
it's all right. Pre-order that. Pre-order those bad boys.
Especially because they give a tribute to the Huskies and the very first game that James Naismith had, which was in Canada. It's really cool. It's a unique thing that isn't just about Toronto. It does have its subtle hints at Toronto. But it's more about the birth of basketball and where it all started, which is something that I'm sure every fan can appreciate.
Speaking on that, I'm glad you brought that up. I really hope that – I don't know if they've announced it yet, but I really hope they do something at the Mattamy Center, which is used to be Maple Leaf Gardens, which any basketball head would know is where the very first NBA game happened. I don't know if it's like – I don't know if they could do a celebrity – have the celebrity game there maybe, because I know they always do it in a smaller gym.
Well, that would be more like the – actually, you know what? I think – that venue has enough buildings and gymnasiums. Maybe they could do the fan experience there instead of at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. It would be more random. I don't know if it's sport at all.
It would be random, but
University of Toronto has a new basketball, you know.
Yeah, but they don't have James Naismith, brother.
Right. No, they don't. They don't have the birthplace of the NBA. They literally don't. That's literally the birthplace of the NBA. I don't know how many fans would be able to say that. I don't know how many NBA basketball fans actually really know that outside of Toronto. And I don't know how many Toronto basketball fans truly know that. It's just, I don't know, I just think it's something that deserved to have it there. I realize that because Ryerson owns, there's all that crap, but you know what? Forget the legal mumbo-jumbo. It should be at the Mattamy Athletic Center.
Well, the thing is with that, too, I mean, people may argue that it's became a Loblaws.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still a piece of that grounds that is Maple Leafs Gardens.
Yep. And they still have a basketball court that seats 10,000 people.
Yes. Yeah,
they're so still making history there to this day. You got Jamal Murray dropping 18, 25 points on the United States, giving Canada their first ever Pan Am medal. History is still being made to this day in that building in sports.
I get it, Ryan. We get it, man. You want something there.
Damn
man.
Straight I do.
Right, and then we can grab some food after as well.
That's right. We can go down to Loblaws. No. Even better. We can go to the LCBO right after.
Yeah, I know you're all for that one.
It is the tis the season.
Tis the season. And that wraps up this episode of the TOT Cast. Once again, I'm Ryan Greco. That is Chris O'Kranitz. That is Natea J. You can always be sure to reach the show at Tip of the Tower on Twitter. You can always reach me at RyanGreco416. You can be sure to reach out to Chris O'Kranitz at Chris O'Kranitz. And of course, Natea at Tay11_. Always be sure to like our Facebook page, share the show with your friends, and I guarantee you they will like that. And finally, always be sure, hit us up on iTunes and be sure to subscribe to our podcast, the TOT Cast. I'd like to thank the Fansided Network. Everyone have a fantastic day. Take care.